You can see beside us, we have two beautiful airplanes, and that will be our program for the day, the Hellcat and the Bearcat. We have a short video up here for a lead-in. If you'll watch that, then we'll start. Thank you.
In November 1910, Eugene Ely took off from a modified Navy cruiser on the Virginia coast flying a Glenn Curtiss airplane. 2 months later, Ely landed on a different ship in San Francisco Bay. Naval aviation was born. Training soon moved from Virginia to Pensacola, Florida, which is the cradle of naval aviation. Every naval and marine aviator to this day traces his or her start in flying to Pensacola. Every Navy aircraft ever flown is housed in the Naval Air Museum at NAS Pensacola. If you love airplanes, especially Navy airplanes, you will love visiting this incredible museum and its National Flight Academy for 7th to 12th graders on Fetterman Way at the museum. The Navy's first ace was Naval Aviator No. 85, David Ingalls, in 1918. Flying a British Sopwith Camel for the RAF, he shot down 5 German airplanes in 6 weeks. Plane design and production proceeded unstopped for the next 20 years, and by World War II, naval aviation had become a power to defend our way of life, particularly in the Pacific Theater, after the surprise Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. Just 4 months later, in April 1942, Jimmy Doolittle led 16 Army Air Corps B-25 bombers from the Navy carrier Hornet in a daring raid. They accurately and successfully bombed targets in Japan that sent a strong message to the Japanese leadership. The message: you made a huge mistake bombing America. Navy planes dominated in the Pacific War. Fighters, the Grumman Cat series, the Wildcat, the Bearcat, the Tigercat, and the Hellcat. Hellcat pilots shot down over 5,000 Japanese airplanes in the Pacific. The late Alex Vashu, the Navy's 4th ranking ace, said that he loved his Hellcat so much that if it could cook, he'd marry it. And we have two magnificent cat airplanes to explore today, a Hellcat and a Bearcat. To do that with us, Rob Collings and Warren Peach. Rob is chief pilot and executive director of the Collings Foundation in Stowe, Massachusetts. He soloed at 16 and today has more than 3,000 hours in several of the foundation's aircraft. Warren has more than 35,000 hours in a variety of aircraft. He is also an award-winning airshow pilot and is chief pilot of the Dakota Air Museum that flies warbirds all over the world.
Good morning again. We have the Bearcat and the Hellcat here. Bearcat there, Hellcat here. Let's get these gentlemen sitting down here. Okay. Here we have Rob Collings. He's with the Collings Group. And we'll just start off, tell us a little bit about your museum or your foundation. They'll turn it on. It's dead.
Yes, dead.
Hello. Okay, here we go. The Collings Foundation was started back in 1977 to preserve living history events. It wasn't designed to have aircraft initially. It was based around transportation events and cars. And that all changed in the mid-1980s because of events like Oshkosh and the CAF Air Show, of going there and seeing these aircraft and wanting to preserve the history. Since 1989, we've had the Wings of Freedom Tour, a B-17 Flying Fortress, B-24 Liberator, and later a Mustang, a Mitchell, and this year a P-40 Warhawk. The tour around the country, and we've been to over 3,400 different tour locations in the last 30 years, bringing these aircraft to the public. But a lot of what we do is around these other airplanes, from World War I aircraft up to the Vietnam era. We have a core collection of very historic airplanes that are not on tour all the time, like this Hellcat, which we are sharing with you today.
Okay, now, next we're over here, we have our... Actually, Stu's a little fill-in. And then we have Warren Peach over here. Warren, his airplane is down. They've got a maintenance problem, but he's here to represent that particular airplane. But we got to talk to Warren and Ron here.
All right, Sam. Go ahead. My name's Warren Peach. I'm with the Dakota Territory Air Museum, and I brought Stu Dawson in here to fill in for me, because as Sam was just saying, our airplane didn't make it here today because of maintenance issues, and I'm sure you'll all understand that. Tom Woods is generous enough to bring his Bearcat over here, so we've got one to look at anyway, and we sure appreciate that. I personally haven't flown a Bearcat. Stu test flew our airplane before it was before it had the maintenance issue, and so...
That's why we have Stu here.
That's exactly right. Yeah, I could talk about the museum and other airplanes, but certainly not very smart about a Bearcat. Dakota Territory Air Museum works in conjunction with Mr. Bruce Ames, who's here in the audience today with us, and he's the guy that sponsored the Bearcat and some of the other airplanes you'll see here, the Spitfire and Lopes Hope, the Mustang. The museum in Minot, North Dakota, has been there for 33 years now. We're about 55 airplanes. We've got about a dozen World War II aircraft that we fly out of there, and they fly on a fairly regular basis, do some air shows and some demonstrations and a lot of veteran work and educational programs. The Bearcat that we're working on is being done down in Breckenridge, Texas by Ezel Aviation. The airplane was purchased from Mr. Dusty Dowd, who collected up parts for three Bearcats over a 32-year period and is still involved in helping us finish that airplane. Really happy to be here. Glad to see a good crowd like this, and hopefully we'll answer some questions.
Rob, tell us a little bit about the Hellcat. What was it designed for? Did it fill its mission?
Did the Hellcat fill its mission? Yeah, I would say so. The Hellcat was designed to be an air superiority fighter in the Pacific, carrier-based. It was designed to destroy the Japanese Zero, which was kind of wreaking havoc with us earlier in the war. So the first mission flown by a Hellcat was September of 1943, and they used them till the end of the war. And in total, they had about 5,200 victories for the loss of 270 Hellcats in air-to-air combat. And that was a 19-to-1 kill-to-loss ratio. That's the best ever for any piston-powered fighter, and a record that stood until the F-15. 300-plus aces were made in Hellcats. And to put in perspective what 5,200 victories is like, the Mustang didn't even break 5,000 in Europe. And you think of the number of P-51s that were there. So this is arguably, it's definitely the greatest naval fighter of all time. Historically, I would say one of the top two airplanes in the Pacific for the reasons we won the war without it. Without the SBD or Hellcat, I don't think we would have won the war in the Pacific. And they built over 12,000 of these. And that's a pretty remarkable number considering the shorter time period that they had, just about 2 years of production. And that was only one factory doing that. When you look at other aircraft production, you know, as impressive as the B-24 production was at 18,000, that was spread over four factories. But this was just the Grumman factory churning out these aircraft, and that's a remarkable feat.
What horsepower? Give us a little specs on this thing, horsepower and armament.
The Hellcat's got the Pratt & Whitney 2800 on it. It's got a two-stage blower, about 2,000 horsepower. It's not necessarily a fast airplane. The Corsair's a lot faster. Mustang's a lot faster. A lot of airplanes are quicker, but it climbs very well, and it turns exceptionally well. And the air war in the Pacific was different than Europe, and it was built for that air war.
What horsepower does it have now? 12?
2,000.
2,000. Okay, but how about the armament? What armament does it have on it?
Hellcat was equipped with 650 caliber machine guns, and that's the way it remained throughout the war. You look at the Dash 3 and the Dash 5, there were very little changes to the airplane throughout its production run.
Well, now you've flown it a good bit. How does it fly compared to the other warbirds?
It's a beautiful flying airplane. Don't tell every, you know, keep your ears closed. It's so easy to fly. And that was really one of its greatest traits, is stability. You made an airplane, Grumman built an airplane that was easy for that 20, 21-year-old kid to fly, because now he's going to fly it on and off of an aircraft carrier. It's a great gun platform, and you could see why this airplane made a lot of aces.
Does it have any quirks when you're flying at all?
I wouldn't say any quirks. I mean, it's very Grumman when you're in the airplane, kind of feels like a TBM or Wildcat right in between. It's just kind of a Grumman feel to it. Every airplane has their quirks, but there's really no bad habits it has. You can pull on this airplane and it's docile in the stall. Again, great for the fighter pilot. You don't want to make the airplane so tough where it's going to kill the pilot before he gets into combat.
Right.
And there was a lot of airplanes like that. There were really great fighter planes once the pilot learned how to fly them. Reason why the Hellcat had such a great kill-to-loss ratio in the Pacific, one reason, was the Corsair came in late. Corsair is a great airplane, but it was just a little too tricky on the carriers. They didn't put it out there. And they said, why bother? We have this thing. It's a killer. 19-1. How do you beat it?
Not very well.
Not very well.